This is Caroline Abbott. Today I have the privilege of interviewing Adoree Blair. Ms. Blair cared for about 70 children as a foster parent for 22 years. She has worked as a child and family investigator, has done supervised parenting time, and also has been a parenting coordinator decision maker. She has also worked with the Colorado State Legislature to pass laws protecting children. Ms. Blair, you started working in 2005?
In divorce work, but 1988 in foster care and child welfare committees and issues. And when I found out what happened to foster children in the system,
yeah.
I began to think we need to change some laws.
Yeah.
So early 90s, I got dressed up and went down to the camp and figured out how to, you know, how to speak up. And I had been such a mouse, I mean, my whole life, I hated to pick up a phone and order a pizza, because I was just a mouse.
Hmm.
But when I got foster babies who were sent home to bad, bad parents,
that
brought out the mother tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed to change things. So
yeah.
That was the beginning of a lot of public policy work.
That you can't get protection for...
Oh, the stories I could tell you are horrendous.
Mm.
And, of course, I work with women mostly, so it's usually the other way around.
Yeah, sure.
But I hear stuff like, you know, the man was horrifically abusive. He has all kinds of horrible convictions. He's gone to jail many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up with full custody of the children.
Because he has the money and a strong attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they claim that she's
right,
mentally
ill. They think she's mentally ill because she's crying on the stand because she's upset because they're giving him more and more custody. So they think she's crazy, and he looks really good because he's all calm. Well, he's calm because everything's going his way.
Well, plus the fact that he doesn't have the protective feelings she does.
Mm-hmm. And he's never been abused.
Mm-hmm.
So he's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it'll end up that the mother either gets no custody at all. This happens
that.
All the time. Or she gets supervision only, supervised visits only. And the man gets full custody with these children. And half the time he's sexually abusing the kids. It's like, how can this even happen?
Oh,
and it's so horrendous that I just go, are we even living in the United States? I mean, it just totally blows your mind.
Yes.
It just
blows
your mind.
Exactly.
I just don't even... you just become speechless when you hear these stories, and the other part that happens is, you know, she'll get the majority of custody, the one that has been victimized by him, she'll get the majority of custody, and he'll take her back to court over and over and over and over again, and the judge never goes, no, stop it.
Stop coming in here, exactly.
Yeah, you know, and she, of course, you know, has no income, because she's been home with the children for 20 years. And he has been out, you know, working and doing whatever, so he has as much money as he wants to keep bringing her back in. And, you know, any little job she does have, she loses because she keeps having to go back to court. And so then she has no job, and so then he's like, well, the judge says, well, you have the better job, and you seem the better, you know, parent, so we're going to give the child to you. I mean, this kind of stuff happens so often that it's just unbelievable.
Well, and I have seen those too. And the thing is that the judges don't seem to ever understand what this does to the children,
mm-mm.
how much alienation is
mm-hmm.
going on, because that's so... Don't you think alienation is all over the place?
It is, and I don't know. What do you think about parental alienation as a defense?
A defense?
Yes.
Oh, it's saying he is alienated the children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, for years, Richard Gardner
mm-hmm.
had everybody convinced it was happening everywhere.
Right.
And at that point in time, I thought that was probably Huey, and that was when I was in Chubbwhopper, just because of who he was and some of the things he said. But I see it all the time. Yeah, I mean, parents don't follow the court orders not to say disparaging remarks. They don't follow any of that. So I see it happening an awful lot.
And how does it come with the children? Like, what happens to the child? How do they end up behaving toward the other parent?
Most of the time, what I see more often than not is that there does become a break in the bond that was with the other parent that they felt comfy with. And it's in self-defense, because they've learned that in order to not make dad mad, they need to go along with him. And so they don't have any other choice. Their own survival depends on going along with his alienation. You see him at the beginning, I think, trying very hard to protect the mom, usually. But the parentification. You see that at the beginning, but they can only stand it so long. And if the court doesn't give them any relief, then they have to kind
just
of side with dad.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And these moms who are out there 3 jobs to pay child support and hardly ever get to see their kids.
Yeah.
Very, very, very sad.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, do you see any, like, hope in sight for these judges? I mean, do you see them changing or learning? Or?
Well, one of the things that's nice is that there are some good ones. I think that, well, I was at the training for, this isn't, at State Court Administrator's Office a couple of weeks ago for the new Chief Justice directives, which are awful. The Chief Justice took anything protective for the children out of those directives. One of them, for instance, that I used a lot was Standard 10. It says, if you see abuse or neglect, then you let social services and the police or the police know. And you take whatever further steps are necessary to protect the child. She took the last part out. And you take whatever further steps. So we already have children in the newspaper. In the last month, we've had a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old who've died in the middle of custody disputes because courts did the wrong thing and social services wouldn't do the right thing. So I think that's a terrific problem, but when I went to that training...
Which training did you go to?
Well, it was State Court Administrator's Office training on Chief Justice directives for CFIs. So it's 04 CJD 0408.
Okay.
And they're in the state the Colorado General or Colorado Court System, State Judicial, a website. So they are there. but afterwards, we kind of all stood out in the hallway, those of us that I knew well, and said, oh my, it is so scary to do this work anymore. Number one, constant grievances. And those are really, really bad.
Yeah.
And those did come from a group of women 3 years ago down at the legislature who came in with false emails. And at least we were able to let the committees know that these were doctored emails, but did testimony with their little children sitting on their laps talking about their births and how dad was bullying, and I thought, you shouldn't be doing this with your child on your lap at the legislature. So it was sad. But a lot of that came from that, and so there's not a lot of protection for people doing this work. And a lot of people are dropping out because of the lack of protection. Trying to make sure I'm getting where you wanted me to go.
My question was, have you seen it getting better or worse kind of over the years?
Worse. Because of the new punitive attitude about CFIs. For instance, one, and I've got a group that I meet with who's a support group. One group who, one CFI who was finished her report. One parent, I think it was the dad, didn't like the report. Because always somebody doesn't like your report.
Right, of course.
And then he accused her of being biased because she lived within 5 miles or something of the mom. And so...
like she has any...
She says, I never seen her.
I
didn't even know her. But therefore I was biased and they threw a report out. You know, so those kind of things are pretty scary. And it's the judges that just don't listen to the testimony, don't. But then there's good ones. So their training needs to be better. Oh, here was the point about the state court administrator's office. Yeah. We all kept saying, but there needs to be training for the judges.
Yeah.
And the answer was, well, the judges haven't asked for any more training.
So? It doesn't mean they shouldn't have it.
Well, and we are one of few states, I agree with you, but we're one of few states without really good judicial oversight.
Really?
All of the grievances, there was an article in the Denver Post probably 3 or 4 months ago from a young man who's working really hard to get better oversight of our judges.
Mm-hmm.
This state is one of the least overseen about judge grievances, ethics, whatever
right.
happens. So, and the public's not aware of it. So, he wanted people to sign his petition, and I think it's still sitting in my pile in the office, but, you know, there's things that can be done. I was going to do a bill this legislative session on just a task force. Come on, people, let's look at divorce, let's look at what we're doing, let's make it more child-friendly.
Yeah.
And I was going to do it this year, but I'm writing a book, which I think would be really helpful.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do it next session. But what do you see as the biggest need?
You know, I'm in agreement with you that the judges don't seem to grasp what's kind of happening in front of them. And we did have that judges' luncheon. Did you come to that? The task
yes.
force put on? Kind of what they were saying, if I could summarize their points, was that they could only rule on what they saw, like what came in front of them. And I get that point. But at the same time, it should be pretty obvious what's happening in front of you. Can't you ask questions? Can't you ask for more investigation? It should be obvious what's happening here.
Exactly.
Especially when someone's coming in front of you for the fifth time. Come on. You know, it's not rocket science.
Exactly.
And you people are smart.
Yeah.
You've been to law school. Come on, people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding.
So that's the thing that really makes me crazy.
Okay. So it is the judge's training.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so. And just that they keep allowing this to go on when it's just so obvious, you know, that the wrong person is ending up with a child, like you say. I'm trying to think of the town that this was happening in. And I can't think of it now. I wrote a blog about it now, but it's poofed out of my head. But they were talking about, and I brought it up in front of that judge's luncheon, they were talking about having a court where everything that was domestic violence related would go through the same court.
Yes.
And so, you know, if someone had battered his wife or whatever and came up in front of a judge, then that would follow him all the way through. Even through custody would be so brilliant. And I realize that's a different kind of, you know, one is criminal and one is civil.
Exactly, but family court is what you're talking
right.
about. Right,
yes. And couldn't that all be one...
Continuum. With all of the records in front of the judge.
Right, so that he sees the whole picture, not just this little tiny piece of it that someone has hired a really good lawyer to show only this little piece, and everything else that happened back here is not being shown.
Well, yes, exactly. And then you've also got, so the other thing he's saying is a strong attorney who he works with all the time.
Right.
And a dad who is so charismatic mm-hmm. that he looks really good.
Right.
And this very upset mom over here
who has been abused and beaten and whatever else, and now she's about to lose her children, so she is upset. And
because
she has PTSD, and she has everything else.
She can't protect them.
Right, and she knows she's about to lose her children to this person who has done horrific things, not only to her, but to her kids in the past.
Yes, yes.
And she's rightfully upset. And so he looks better.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
That's what just infuriates me.
Yes.
And so that's the only piece of the picture that he sees, mm-hmm. that the judge sees.
Mm-hmm.
But if everything was a continuum and he has been following, you know, this same family for the last 10 years, then that isn't the only picture that he sees.
But you also know another issue in Colorado is mm-hmm. that we keep rotating judges.
Mm.
So they go from DR court to juvenile court to, social services kind of court.
Right.
So they
don't
get good at one specific thing and stay there.
Right.
A few do,
right.
But they do not like being in divorce court.
Which is nasty, and who can blame them?
Mm-hmm. And DNN court, where, you know, with foster care, they don't like those too. They'd rather have criminal or...
Right.
So I think that's another issue that could be in the bill.
Yeah.
And I just have a draft of a proposal.
Yeah.
But I think that needs to be added.
Yeah.
So I'll stick that in there.
Yeah.
Family court. Because, you know, Boulder's doing family court.
Mm.
And it'd be fun to have their statistics. They're also doing something called ENE. So when a couple comes in to talk to the teams they have, mm-hmm. it's an attorney and a mental health professional.
Mm-hmm.
So they band together and mm-hmm. talk to the families and try to figure out what's going on.
Right.
And then they make recommendations to the families. Well, generally in your case, we might see this, this, and this,
mm-hmm.
and you might get sent to this kind of treatment or therapy,
mm-hmm.
and our guess is, knowing what we know, that it's probably going to be 50-50 custody or whatever.
Right.
And that seems to take away a lot of the need up front for them to hire attorneys and
mm-hmm.
lose their home and all those things.
Right.
And so that, along with family court,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to see the stats.
Yeah.
And we could ask for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, see how it's being done in other places
right.
with a little bit more success.
Oh, yes.
Right?